Welcome in. I'm Pastor Michael here, lead pastor of Greenwood Community Church in the Nazarene. Thank you for tuning in to our messages today. And whenever you're watching it, whether it's Sunday morning or another time, we are thankful that you have taken the time to do it. And I hope that these messages will encourage you and excite you and teach you something. That's really the goal. So we are in the middle of our series for Lent called Abide With Us. And it's hard to believe we're already in week three of Lent, and we're about a month away from Easter. The end of this month is Easter, in fact, and so it's amazing. We're getting there very quickly. So, as we jump into this week three sermon, we're going to talk about a pretty difficult topic today, and that topic is laying down power. And as believers, as Christians, this is a topic that is very necessary, but it's a hard thing to talk about. So we'll try and get through this together. And our text today comes from John 10, verses 14 through 18. So if you want to open your Bibles and get them ready, we will get there in very short minute here. But let me kind of introduce this, unpack this topic a little bit before we read the scripture. So Psalm 23 contains some of the most famous words in all of scripture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? This image of God as a shepherd permeates the Hebrew scriptures. It comes up many different times. The children of Israel are referred to as sheep, meaning they're foolish, prone to wandering, in need of guidance, leading, and care, right? The imagery extends to the heroes of faith as well. Moses and King David are both literal shepherds before they are leaders of Israel. So when we arrive at this text in John chapter 10, where Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd, we bring all the context from the Hebrew scriptures with us as we unpack Jesus as the Good Shepherd. You see, Jesus is not simply making a shallow point about his care and compassion. He's actually making a prophetic declaration that he is, in fact, the Messiah, but not the Messiah God's people were expecting. And here is where herein is where the trouble lies, let's say. Instead of coming with strength and power to fight a bloody revolution for the liberation of God's people from the oppressors of Rome, Jesus comes like a shepherd who's willing to lay down his life for his sheep. He is, once again, working in ways they don't expect for a kingdom that looks way different from the one they think they want. So let's dive into our passage and begin to unpack this together this morning or afternoon, whenever you're watching this. Let's unpack this together. So John chapter 10, 14 through 18, it says this: I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as my Father knows me, I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily. For I have the authority to lay it down when I want to, and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. Now, back in the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, there's one example of a scriptural. This is one example of a scriptural passage where God is described as a shepherd of the Israelite sheep. In Ezekiel 34, the passage references an era that is often called the Day of the Lord, a time when predators will no longer attack the sheep, and the sheep, the Israelites, will be safe. The idea of the Messiah as a shepherd would be familiar to those of the Jewish faith. King David was a shepherd as a young boy in a family of shepherds. As king, he is also described as a shepherd of the Israelite people, which is why it makes sense for Jesus, who is in David's family line, to claim this identity as well. Because vocations were family-based, children engaged in the same professions as their fathers, and the lineage of King David is connected with shepherding. There are multiple Old Testament scriptures, including many Psalms, that describe God as the ultimate good shepherd who cares for his sheep. When Jesus claims to be the good shepherd, he is blatantly identifying himself as the Messiah. He's not leaving a lot of room for, really any room for negotiation on this topic. And the truth is, the Pharisees know the scripture well and recognize Jesus' references to Ezekiel right away. And they're not thrilled by him claiming messiahship. Jesus equates his presence with the year of the Lord, or the day of the Lord, demonstrated in the ways he acts compassionately toward the poor, the oppressed, the marginalized of both Jewish and Roman society. Now let's take a moment and talk about sheep and shepherds, okay? Sheep tend to wander. Psalm 23 references still water because sheep have been known to drink water with strong currents, and then they're swept away and drowned. I know it's kind of silly to think about. You know, you get this image in your head of a sheep walking up to a roaring river, and they put their head down to drink, and then all of a sudden, whoop, there they go. But it is true. That is something that sheep have been known to do. Sheep can also get themselves trapped in hard-to-reach places or areas where there are no food sources nearby. All that to say, sheep wander because they're not really smart, right? And because they're prone to wander, and because they're not the smartest or brightest animals, they are vulnerable to predators. They don't have claws or sharp teeth or any way to camouflage themselves. So shepherds are the primary way that sheep stay safe. Now, the other thing to know about the sheep and the shepherds is that shepherding as a career was not a highly favored job in the time of Jesus. They were they had long hours, not just during the day, but also because shepherds had to sleep with their flocks overnight to protect them from the predators of the night. Shepherds were criticized from being away from their families too much, leaving them vulnerable. And shepherds were often in danger themselves due to bad weather, predators, thieves, and having to range far from home in order to let the sheep graze. And I would just add that it has been said in multiple sources that are not the Bible, that shepherds tended to be dirty, and people in that time period didn't appreciate their dirty nature because they worked outside. They worked in the dirt with sheep, right? It was also pretty commonly understood that many shepherds were thieves, would steal because they were poor, typically, and so they would get in trouble for that oftentimes. So shepherds were just not highly looked at in their time. But there is something very interesting and unique about shepherds. Shepherds each had a unique call for their sheep. Different flocks of sheep often grazed together. So when it was time to separate the flocks, the shepherds relied on the sheep recognizing the sound of their voice as well as their unique call. The sheep would not follow unless they heard the call they knew from the voice they knew. Does that make sense? This is why Jesus emphasizes that his sheep know him, that Jesus has a unique call on us, a call to salvation, a call to freedom, and inclusion in the kingdom of God. But he also has a unique voice, a voice that is gentle, loving, compassionate. If Christ acts in the character of God and loves his sheep, then God's people can be confident that those acting in ways counter to love and compassion are not acting on behalf of the shepherd. When we see people claiming that they care for sheep, but acting in ways that are counter to the ways of the shepherd, we know they're thieves and predators. Jesus' love and compassion for his sheep goes so far that as the good shepherd, he lays down his life for his sheep. In Psalm 23, the shepherd is described as walking with the sheep through the valley of the shadow of death. In the parable of the lost sheep, Jesus declares that one lost sheep is more important to the shepherd than the 99 who are not lost. Did you catch that? He's talking about the church. Those who are lost and outside are more important than those inside. You see, in Jewish religious practice, sheep were used for sacrifices. An offering ritual meant to bestow forgiveness, as we talked about a few weeks ago. In a role reversal, Jesus says he is the shepherd, is willing to take on the role of the sacrificed lamb in order to save the sheep. We often call Jesus the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. What does it mean for him to be the good shepherd who, instead of having his life taken from him, willingly lays down his life for the sheep? Love, compassion, and incarnation are at the heart of Jesus' message. God leaves power and might behind in order to unite with humanity in full humanness, our full humanness. The kingdom of God is not about amassing power through violence, but rather it's about gentle, loving kindness that sacrifices for others. Even though we still often look for or prefer the violence and power, we're called to a servant's nature because that's what Jesus was. Now, if the way of the Good Shepherd is through the gate of compassion, of love, of sacrifice, of laying down power, then anything that doesn't embody those things is not of the Good Shepherd. Think about it this way. The safety and well-being of the sheep matter to God. We often think that this is just a spiritual word, but there is a real physical care implied in the caring of sheep, which are fed, loved, and protected. As the sheep who follow the voice of Christ, we should recognize and care about those being torn apart by others. The kingdom of God operates differently than the kingdom of the world. Where the world says to amass wealth and power, the kingdom of God says to lay those things down and follow Jesus to the cross. If we follow the voice of the Good Shepherd, what is that voice calling us to do? Well, Christ is calling us in this season of Lent away from habits, places, or things that keep us separated from God. We are called toward life abundant, grace, and mercy. We are also called to embody the self-giving love of Christ, who willingly laid down his life for his sheep. So the question is, where can we lay down our lives to those around us? Many faithful Christ followers have lost their earthly lives as a result of following the call of Jesus. Other times, we are called to give up certain powers or privileges out of love for others. When we embody Christ's sacrificial laying down of his life, we join in the glory of the resurrection. If you have a question about that, take a look at Philippians chapter 3. We don't have time to explore it today, but take a look at Philippians 3 to follow up on this. Let me say that again. When we embody Christ's sacrificial laying down of his life, we join in the glory of the resurrection. When we embody Christ's sacrifice in the world, others experience the resurrection power of Christ too, which can change entire communities. And we believe here, your leadership, your board, your staff, we believe that if we embody Christ's sacrifice, Greenwood as a community will change. We've said this before as we close. Lent is a season of sacrifice. We lay down some things in order to pick other things up. We lay down the things of the world in order to connect with God in a more life-giving way. We see in the image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd, a God who gave up everything in order to love us well. So, we respond to the voice of the Good Shepherd by doing likewise, laying aside our power, our privilege, and sometimes our lives to follow after him. Embrace others in love, and ultimately see the power of the resurrection permeate the entire world. That's our prayer for you. As we continue in this Lent season, I encourage you, let your light shine. Let the story of the gospel speak through you. Be bold. And if you have not chosen to follow Jesus yet, I would encourage you, seek after him. Because if you do, you will find Jesus, I promise you. He's standing at the door of your heart and he's knocking. He wants to have a relationship with you. Thank you for tuning in today. We'll see you next time.